So tonight, I want to talk about the compassionate Jesus. Everybody say the compassionate Jesus. You know, if one thing about Jesus, he gets a bad rap, God gets a bad rap in general, because everybody thinks he's a mean God, you know, ready to pounce on you, pound you to the ground. You do one thing wrong, that's it, you're out of the game. You know, he is a compassionate Jesus. He is a merciful Jesus. And when you find out how good God is and how compassionate it is, guess what? It's going to lead you to actually serve him. You know, before I got born again, I actually thought he was pretty a tough God. And I was on my parents' place, and it was a weekend. And, of course, people on the weekend, they do certain things, and they get a little bit tipsy. And it was a Saturday morning, and the parents weren't around. And a preacher, a Pentecostal preacher, drives up in my parents' yard, up the drive there and up the yard, because it was houses on a hill. I looked out the window. I said, oh, it's that Pentecostal preacher. And I'm just going to talk to him about old cars and get him out of the house. That was my plan, talk to him about old cars and get him out of the house, because he was collecting parts for a Model T Ford. I would wish to get a hold of him, Mr. Stringer, and see if he ever did build it, but I saw his garage. It was full of Model T parts, and he's going to build this Model T Ford. So I said to myself, I'm just going to talk to him about old cars and get him out of the house. He knocks on the door, and he comes in, and he says, hey, Ken, I don't want to talk to you about old cars. He says, how's it with your soul? And, oh, you know, it's just one of those things. Before you're born again, you want to run from people like that. Because you want to do your own thing. You are totally in control of wrecking your own life, okay? And so you don't want to have anything to do. But he got upset with me, and I needed it as far as I'm concerned, because I grew up in a Christian home. I didn't serve the Lord. When I was 8 years old, I had an opportunity at kids camp to, not like Pastor Steve, who did accept the Lord at 8, but I said, no, I don't want the Lord at 8. I want to kiss a girl. I want to have some fun in this life. You can still kiss a girl. But anyways, I didn't give my heart to the Lord. I watched them. They were praying for people. I said, no, Lord. And I talked to the Lord even before I was born again. He understands. He is a compassionate Jesus. He's a kind God. He's not going to force anybody to do anything. I said, Lord, let me live my life, and then I will come to you. And he was just like, oh, is that what you want to do? So anyways, this Pentecostal preacher looked me in the face, and he says, how is it with your soul, and where will you spend eternity? And he knocked me off my, got me off guard. And he says, when you're in hell burning, your friends are going to rip your eyes out because you knew the way of salvation and you never told them. And it was very hard on me. He said a short prayer and left. And I was this so upset. And I think I shed a few bitter tears, and I was upset. But I didn't give my heart to God. See? It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. And many times through my life, I find out that God is a good God, continually good, always merciful, always waiting for you. I remember spinning down a hill, and it was wintertime, and it was icy, and I was going around and around and around, and I usually hit the ditch at least once a weekend. And this was another time, and I thought, oh, God, please. And it stopped right in a approach, right in the bottom. And I said, wow, thanks. And then I drove away. And there was time after time, always crying out to him. I was in the back seat of a police officer's car, and I knew I would lose my license. I cried to God. I said, no, I don't want to lose my license. Please help me. And you know what? I blew a yellow and got away with it. We're just losing it one day. And so I went the next day, and I got my license back. This is, you know, when I'm 18 or 17 or something like that. But anyways, the moral of the story is a lot of times we cry out to God for help at our time of need. And then later on, I'd be so sick, I would talk to God. Oh, God, oh, God, you know, please, please help me. And he's merciful and he's compassionate. And I want everybody to know the purpose of this message is to know that God is good. And good things come from him, and he is a compassionate Jesus. He's a compassionate Jesus. The word compassionate means a strong desire to alleviate suffering. He doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want any of his people to suffer. He loves them. James 1:27. And you know, you got to use your faith when it comes to knowing God and knowing how he is and what his attitude is towards everything and how much he loves you and is compassionate towards you. And he is kind towards you. But James 1:27 gives us a good picture of God. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is to visit the widows. Or no, before God the Father is to visit the fatherless. Fatherless don't got no dad. A fatherless doesn't have a parent. And a little small kid, they need a parent. And it's pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is to visit the fatherless and widows. That's somebody that their husband has died. That means they're all by themselves. And in the Old Testament, they didn't have the government to support them. They were all by themselves, is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So pure religion and the kind of attitude that God has is to visit the widows. It's to visit the fatherless. He wants to wrap his arms around those kids and love them and love them. You know, I recently did a charter and I had about 50 kids on my bus. And this one kid was so tough. I just amazed me. He was a hockey player, but he was just so tough. He just sat there and he had his knee there and I was walking down the aisle and I actually bumped into his knee. I thought, whoa, oh, sorry. And he just looked at me. It's just like he's ready to fight. And then we're taking all the bags out and he's just standing there looking. And, you know, all the other kids are helping out, but he's not budging until his bag comes out. You know, everybody has a will. And could be so stubborn and so hard against the things of God. But yet God is a merciful, God is a compassionate God. God bends over backwards and loves your kids. He loves you. He loves the elderly. He loves us. And he's kind and compassionate. One thing about people that have seen heaven, they said when they looked at Jesus, one person said his eyes looked like wells of love. Another person said there was no doubt about it. He loves me. There is no doubt about it. This Jesus loves me. Imagine to have love of an individual that loves a person that much that you don't have to hide. You and I, you know, we look at each other. We usually have certain walls up. We don't just like, hey, you know, look at me. No, we care for each other. Like John here, you know, we know each other. We'll give us a pat on the back. But I really don't know John. John really doesn't know me. But we know we believe in the Lord. And so we're part of the family of God there. But when Jesus looks at you, he knows everything about us. Every little detail. And yet he still loves us. Because he's full of compassion. And he's full of mercy. And he knows exactly what you went through in your life. He knows where you're born. He knows whether you had parents. He knows whether you were treated like trash. He knows whether you were treated good. He knows whether you were treated in a Christian home. And maybe the Christian home was a little bit off. You never know. There's all kinds of situations and scenarios. But God is a compassionate Jesus. And we got to use our faith to know that he is a good God. And good things come from him. And he is compassionate and loves us no matter what. He wants to help us and encourage us. So that is a little taste of what God is. Pure religion and pureness is undefiled before God. It's to visit fatherless, those that don't have a dad, widows in their affliction. That's his heart. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. So Jesus is a compassionate Jesus, not a hard judge. People make him out to be, especially in the Old Testament. Once we understand and know how kind and how good he is, it's easier to fellowship with him and have faith in him and in his word. You know, I don't have a problem at all going to God because he knows all about me. He knew me the day I was born in 1966. He knows when you were born. He knows when you came to earth. And he loves us. And when you find out that he actually forgave you of all your sins and cleansed you from all unrighteousness, that'll make you want to bend over backwards to just say, thank you, Jesus. Some people are so grateful and so thankful for their salvation. And I think we all should get to a place where we're so grateful and so thankful that he saved us. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. That means when I didn't care for him, didn't want to have stuff to do with him, he loved me and he wanted me and he cared for me and he loved me. So that makes me want to change my life and say, hey, I want to serve a God like that. Because it's the goodness of God that leads a person to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads a person to repentance. Let's all say that. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And it's when they find out that God is so merciful time and time again, we want to serve a God like that. Not a God that says, well, you're going to go to hell if you don't bow down to me. No, you know, human beings will say, well, I'm going to go to hell then to be with you. No, but when you find out how good God is, you say, no, I want to be with you. I want to love you. I love you. I love you, God, because you're a good God. You've forgiven me of my sins. You cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I want to serve a God who cares for me and loves me. And so it says here, don't you see Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 in the King James Version? Or despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. The goodness of God will lead you to repentance. That's Romans 2 and verse 4. That's the NLT. And then that's the King James right there. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Everybody say goodness. So the number one is, when we're talking about the compassion of Jesus, that he is a good God. And use your faith to say, God, you're good. I may not understand everything, but I know you're good. And I know you care for me. And every good and every perfect gift comes from above. And you are a good God. You're watching over me. You care for me. You love me. You love my family. You love everything about me because you're helping me, because you died for me. There's nobody that died for me, but Jesus died for every one of us and cares for every one of us. So the one number one thing is that he is good. James chapter 1 and verse 17, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Good gifts come from God. Sometimes people think sickness, disease, and trouble, oh, they come from God. No, they don't come from God. The goodness of God comes from God, and good things come from God. Health and healing come from God. Prosperity comes from God. Salvation comes from God. Deliverance comes from God. It's the goodness of God. It comes from him. Good things come from God. Bad things come from the enemy. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Everybody should come to a place where you know God, you are good. Yes, I've made some mistakes. Yes, I've had some trials. Yes, I had some tests. Yes, I went a blunder and went aside. But I want to say, God, you are good. God, you are good, and your mercies endure forever. And God, you are good, and your mercies endure forever. I'm going to use my faith. You're going to use your faith, and you say, God, you're a good God. You're not a mean God. You're not a harsh God. You're not a God that wants to crush us. Do you not think that he could destroy this whole planet in 1 second? He is God Almighty, the creator of the universe. But he's given us a free will. And he's given us choices, and we're to use our faith to say, God, you are a good God, and your mercies endure forever. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that has trusted in him. So we taste and we see that God is good. When it comes to the compassion of Jesus, he is a good God. Over in Psalms 27:13, it said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. I say, wait on the Lord. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Each one of us, I believe, wants to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You live in Thunder Bay, we can still see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He just doesn't show up in Tulsa or in Texas. No, he shows up wherever you are. That's where he shows up. Wherever there's a heart that's open to him, wherever there's an eye that looks up to heaven, wherever there's a heart that's receptive and saying, God, you are here with me. You are a good God and your mercies endure forever. God, you care about me. You care about my health and my health. I'm having some challenges, but I thank you that you are the God that heals me and my portion forever. I believe in you. I'm using my faith by I say with my mouth, himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. The Lord, he died for me and shed his blood on Calvary. So I thank you, God, that you are a good God. You provided healing mercies unto me. You heal my body. And in today's society, everybody should be using their faith because there's bugs, there's this, there's that. I've seen on TikTok, what's this cough around for the last several, you know, people are coughing, people are doing everything. But thank God for the goodness of God in the land of the living. We're believing God, amen? We're trusting in his healing mercies. We're trusting in him. I had fainted unless I believed I see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Everybody say, I see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. I see it all around. When I look at you, I see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I see lives that have been changed and transformed by the power of God. I see sins that have been forgiven. I see mean people that have turned into wonderful saints of God. Amen. Because it's possible through the power of God, because God's transforming goodness in our lives makes us different. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. I may not know everything. Of course, no person knows every little thing about everything. But God wants us to walk by faith and know that He is a good God and that we have Holy Spirit and Jesus is our Savior. And He helps us and He delivers us and we see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I see the goodness of God. I look at, talk to my mother. She's 84 years old. She has a little Bible study with a few ladies from one from the Lutheran church and several other ladies. They're reading Brother Hagin's material and reading, and those ladies are, boy, this is something else. You know, doesn't matter how old you are. God wants to bless and to help and to encourage every single person because we see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Those that are broke, don't have a crying dime. Hey, God's got riches. God's got money. Amen. God's got jobs. He's got supplies. Why? Because we see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He wants you blessed. Amen. And a blessing. He wants you blessed and a blessing. For with God, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. Let's take our faith, even our little itsy bitsy faith, and believe God that all things are possible because we believe and we're trusting in you and that you are a good God in the land of the living. And I trust in you. So number one, he is good. Number two, he is compassionate. Everybody say he's compassionate. Jesus is a compassionate Jesus. He loves us. He cares for us. He bends over backwards, so to speak. And that's how much he loves us. I have the greatest time with my Jesus. Why? Because I realize that I've been forgiven of my sins. He made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And so, yes, I have some scars. I have this scar right here. So that shows it. What happened here? Well, we were eating ice cream. And somebody thought that they would throw a bunch of alcohol in the ice cream. And so we ate a pail of ice cream, and then we started to wrestle in the house, in the kitchen. And this hand went through a window. And it was wide open. And so I got this scar. Then they went to the hospital, and I never experienced, taking pills and alcohol together. So that took me to a whole new level. And so they patched me up, and then the rest of the night, I don't remember too much. But I've got this scar here, and there it is. But I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. But yet we're still in the same old body. That's why we still think we're the same old creature, but we're not. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. Jesus is living in me. He looks out through my eyes when I look out. And sometimes, I never cried much before I was born again, but sometimes I cry. And I cry only when I see the way Jesus sees. You want to know one thing that really makes me cry? Is when someone takes their life. It makes me cry. Because I see that individual, such potential, but no, they wasted it. Because Satan had blinded their eyes. They couldn't see. They were blinded. They thought it was hopeless. There's no hope for them, they felt. But yet there's so much hope in God. He could take anybody and transform them and change them. He could take anybody. He loves everybody. And he will do so much just to get to that individual, to help them. So I think it's just a wasted life to see one that is gone so young. When they could have lived out their lives. Amen. They could have done whatever they wanted through the power of God. But thank God that Jesus is a compassionate Jesus. And he loves all people. Amen. And that when you find out that God loves you so much, then you'll turn around and you'll have some compassion on someone. Amen. You might show some pity on somebody. Because it might be your goodness that helped them. And helped them. And push them on, amen. Amen, amen. So it's the compassion of Jesus. The dictionary word for compassion is a strong desire to alleviate suffering. Mercy is the fruit of compassion. I tried to figure that out, and it's a little bit confusing for my education. But anyways, mercy is the fruit of compassion. So there's mercy. I know God loves us, shows mercy and mercy unto us. But mercy is the fruit of compassion. And the dictionary mean for compassion is a strong desire to alleviate suffering. Now, Matthew 14:14, Jesus went forth and he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion and he healed their sick. Jesus was moved with compassion. There's one place the Bible says he cried because he was like, they were like a sheep without a shepherd. Everybody needs somebody. Amen. Everybody, and Jesus looks for them, and he hungers for them, and he desires to help them. And I know we do things in the natural. We do our best to help, but you know, the main help is going to come from Jesus. That's the main help, is Jesus is going to help them. Jesus is going to get over to them because he's a compassionate Jesus, and he loves them, and he loves them in every situation. So the goodness of God, and he is a compassionate Jesus. Both things, he's good and he's compassionate. Now Luke 7:12, it says, now when they came near the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out of the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. He said, weep not. He came and touched the bier or the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up. A supernatural miracle of a deliverance of a young boy or a boy. And he sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Does that not seem like a compassionate Jesus? That's a compassionate Jesus that's bending over backwards and wants to help, wants to deliver, wants to set free. And saw that widow, the only boy she had, and he was dead. And Jesus went and raised that child from the dead. Hallelujah. He's a compassionate Jesus. He's a loving Jesus. He's a kind Jesus. We should all use our faith to say, Jesus, thank you that you're a merciful Jesus, that you help us in every circumstance and every situation. Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another. Everybody say kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. And so when we find out that Jesus is a compassionate Jesus, then we want to turn around and we want to show some compassion. We want to be compassionate to people. You know, the scripture declares that when God has done something for you, we in turn can do something for someone else. Because good things come from God and compassion comes from God. And he is a kind and compassionate Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, it says, blessed be God, even Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Here we receive comfort from God. We receive deliverance. We receive forgiveness. Now we can go and be a blessing unto other people. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. He is a good Jesus. He is a compassionate Jesus. And we want to love on him a little bit before we leave. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness and your great grace. Oh, Father, we just say thank you, Lord God, that we worship you in spirit and in truth. We say thank you, Lord God, that there's none like you. And this new year, we thank you, Father, that you are a good God. That every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. There's no changing with you. You stay the same. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are compassionate. You are good and kind in days of old. You are good and compassionate to us now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you'll be good and compassionate in the future. But I'm concerned right now, hallelujah, that you're the one, hallelujah, that loves us and cares for us and died for us. And we pray for each one here, Lord, that they would be strengthened this new year, this 2024. Hallelujah, that they would know that, you know, good things come from God. The Bible says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I'm come that you might have life and life more abundantly, says the Lord of hosts. Thank you, Jesus, for the abundant life. The Word of God declares that he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He went through everything that we feel, every emotion that we feel, ups, downs, all arounds. We thank you, Lord God, that you are merciful. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give him some praise. Give him some honor. Hallelujah. We honor you, God. We say thank you, Jesus, that you are our Savior, our Lord, that you loved us and you came to us when we needed your help. You were there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for delivering us and setting us free. Thank you for helping us think clearly. We're thankful that you're a good God and your mercies endure forever. Thank you, Father, for helping us. Forgive us for the times where we missed it, where we've come so short. It wasn't the right choice. It wasn't the right decision, but it was made. So we thank you, Lord God, for washing us clean in the blood, helping us to fulfill all your desire, all your will in our lives, that each one would find all that you desire for their lives. Ora masindere keta hashta. Thank you, Father. Thank you for filling us with the Holy Spirit. And we do believe in you that you are guiding us and directing us and showing us things to come. Thank you, Father, that we don't fear what tomorrow may bring because you're here with us. There's no shadows with you. There's no torment with you. There's no anxiety with you. There's no fretfulness with you. We use our faith and we say, thank you, Lord God, that you're good and your mercies endure forever and that you're a compassionate Jesus. Hallelujah. Give us that heart that we can see out with our eyes and comprehend maybe that someone is going through a rough time and we could speak a word of encouragement to them or a prayer. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, we bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Everybody say, Lord, I believe you're good and compassionate with me. And I'm good and compassionate with others. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.